Thank you, Nan, for reading God's word to us. Hi, everyone. Good to see you this morning on Zoom. Thanks for being here. We are, in our sermons, working through what Paul calls the fruit of the Spirit. This is this list of qualities he gives in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, we've looked at so far, and today we're looking at patience. And these are things, basically, I mean, if you look at this list, when these things show up in someone's life, if you imagine that kind of person or know that kind of person that has this kind of fruit born in their life, you know it's someone you want to be around. It's someone who just reflects God in some pretty deep ways and is life-giving. So it's a beautiful work of the Holy Spirit that we're studying. And this week we're going to focus on patience, and we're going to do that by reading something that James wrote to the early church about patience. It's in James 5. I'll be starting in verse 7 there. So James writes this to the church. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is God's word. It's given to us for our good. Let me pray for us before we look at this together. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a people who are impatient. I confess that of myself, as I do for our culture in general. And I pray, God, this morning that you would meet us by your Spirit to teach us what this is about and to indeed make us patient as we wait in the sure hope of Jesus. God, we also come before you this morning as a people who are heavy laden. Lord, the burdens that each of us bears are heavy, and we confess those to you and ask for your help with those. Lord, the burdens of our world are heavy. Even this week, as we hear news of increased COVID cases in the U.S., in Brazil, in India, in Russia, and other places, Lord, as we read of continued harm caused by the sin of racism to Asian Americans, to Latinos, and to Black people and others in our country, Lord, as we continue to hear news of killings in our own great city, even of children, Lord, our hearts and burdens are heavy. And we ask this morning, God, that you would establish our hearts in you, that you would renew our hope in you, and that you would make us vessels of your love, justice, mercy, and compassion to one another and to this world. And we pray you would use your word even now to do that. We pray through Christ. Amen. So being patient does not come naturally to anyone, I would say. And that, in a sense, is by definition of what patience is, right? To be patient means to be willing to be in circumstances you do not want to be in. It's to be willing to be in circumstances you do not want to be in, and that does not come naturally. And yet, we're told that it is exactly this kind of willingness, it is this patience that the Holy Spirit brings about in the Christian life. It is patience that James says ought to mark how we engage with the world. Well, James gives three concrete examples of what patience can look like in this passage. And I want to look at each one of those in turn. So the first he mentions in verse 7 is the farmer. So in first century Palestine, planting happened just before the autumn rains. It's different than how planting and harvesting works here. It happened in Palestine just before the autumn rains, and harvest came just after the spring rains. So those are the early and late rains that James names in this passage. And between those two rains, between the planting and the harvesting, the farmer had some things to do, right? Weeding, maybe fertilizing. But most of what she or he did was waiting. They planted and then they waited for the harvest to come. And the farmer is given by James as an example of patience with a natural process. If you think about it, these sort of natural processes are a part of the fabric of life. Things like learning to walk requires patience with a process. Learning calculus requires patience with a process. Learning a foreign language, building a relationship, healing a relationship, getting through a pandemic, raising a child, smoking meat, aging wine, planting a church, crafting a piece of furniture all requires patience with a process. If you think about it, most any worthwhile thing that we would want to set out to do and accomplish in this world requires patience with a process. And that's because the harvest cannot be rushed. The only way you get the fruit is through patience. So that's the first example, the farmer. Next, James talks about the prophets. Now, the prophets in the Old Testament were these people that God called to speak his word to the people. And as I think about it, every single one that I can think of was met with opposition. Take, for example, Jeremiah. The more that, and Jeremiah is probably the prophet we know the most biographical details about, because he tells us in his own book. So the more that Jeremiah said what God wanted him to say, the worse people treated him. They cursed him, they beat him, they imprisoned him. At one point, they cast him into a muddy well with no food or water. Even his close friends plot his demise. Now, if Jeremiah had given up, if he had decided to keep his mouth shut, the suffering would have ended. But instead, Jeremiah is patient in the suffering. He endured it. He continued to do the ministry God had called him to do patiently, even when it seemed to bear no fruit, except the fruit of suffering for himself. Well, Jeremiah and the prophets are given to us by James as an example of patience amid suffering that results from following God. Patience amid suffering that comes from following God. And of course, what went for the prophets goes also for Jesus, the paragon of patience in this regard. And the New Testament says also goes for us too. You see, friends, we have been given a ministry by God that requires patience. Our ministry is not exactly the same as those Old Testament prophets. We're not entrusted to reveal God's word in the unique way that Old Testament prophets did. But our ministry is actually to echo the prophetic word and to echo that word with our speech and with our lives, with everything that we are about, that prophetic word is born out in our lives. And for us to do that inevitably requires patience in suffering. Why? Because it is going against the grain of our world. So that's the second example. And the third and final example that James gives of patience is the example of Job. So if you don't know the story of Job, it's this. And we actually did like a poll in our church a couple years ago as to what people wanted us to give sermons on. And the most popularly demanded example was Job. So I anticipate one day we will work through the book of Job together, all 41 chapters. The story of Job is basically this, that there is a good man who is going about his business, and then one day he loses everything. Bandits steal all his oxen, donkeys, and camels. Lightning strikes all his sheep. A strong wind blows down a house on all his children. And then to top it off, he's struck with painful sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And there's nothing he can do but take a piece of broken pottery and scrape his wounds. So that's Job. As readers, we're privy to the fact that God has allowed Satan to test Job. But we have to remember, for Job, from his perspective, he has no idea what's going on. For him, all these losses come completely out of the blue. And when they happen, Job's wife goes to him and urges him, Job, just curse God and be done with this. Be done with this suffering and nonsense. Job's friends go to him and say, Job, the only explanation that makes sense is that you must have sinned, so you need to repent. But what we see is that throughout Job, through 39 chapters of suffering, Job doesn't do those things. He remains steadfast. He remains patient. And James, I think, in this passage is using those words steadfast and patient pretty much synonymously. Job refuses patiently, steadfastly, to tell a lie about God by cursing him, or to tell a lie about himself by making a show of repentance. You see, Job is an example of patience amidst suffering that makes no sense. And friends, that is often the reality we find ourselves in, suffering that, at least to us, just makes no sense. So James gives us those three pictures of being patient. The farmer, patience in a natural process. The prophet, patience amid suffering that comes from following God. And Job, patience amid suffering that comes for no reason at all. And he gives us those examples, tells us to be patient, and then applies it to one specific fine point. And this he gives us right in the middle of the passage, and it's this: do not grumble against one another, brothers. So why does he narrow it down to that example? Well, I think for one, there may be nothing that tests our patience more than other people. It may be because they have intentionally done something against us. It may be that they have unintentionally done something against us. It may be that they have done nothing against us, but because of our own issues, we take it out against them. Whatever the reason is, James says, do not grumble against one another. And when he does this, we see that lacking patience is actually not just about us being in a bad mood. It's not just about an internal struggle. The lacking patience is actually about not being able to treat each other right. And James is talking particularly to the household of God, to the church. He's saying, when it comes to your brothers and sisters in the faith, be patient like the farmer. Trust that God is going to bear good fruit in them. The reason he gives is interesting. He says, do this because the judge is standing at the door. In other words, whenever we grumble against another, we are placing ourselves in the seat of the judge. But James is reminding us, we are not the judge. God is the judge. He's standing at the door, and he will right it all soon. And so be patient with one another. Be gentle. Be long-suffering. Endure with one another. Because the fact is, whenever we lack patience in any circumstance, what we basically are doing whenever we lack patience is trying to play God, putting ourselves in the seat of authority, of power, of judgment, saying we have right here to play God. And so James is saying, be patient, endure, hang on until the true God comes, be gentle with your brothers and sisters, be patient. So that's basically James' word to us on patience. And I think when we hear that, at least when I hear that, there's part of me that says, okay, but hang on. Let's think this through a little bit. What in the situation of when another person is actually in the wrong? Does patience mean that I shouldn't say anything in that circumstance, that we should just pretend like it's okay? Or thinking more broadly, in an age of evil, in the face of injustice, either against yourself or against others, does patience mean that you should not do anything, that you shouldn't say anything? Is patience a way of just saying indifference? Well, think about the three examples that James gives. The farmer is not indifferent about whether or not his crop bears fruit, right? The prophets were not indifferent about the outcome of their ministry. Job was not indifferent about his loss. No, each of these is burning with an urgency. Each of these examples, people care about the outcome. They care about the reality. But in each one of these examples, these people knew that the quick and easy words and actions would actually not bear the fruit actually needed. They knew that what bears the needed fruit was steadfast, enduring, immovable patience. A couple years ago, I heard a Tyler Perry quote that I think brings this to a point. And this is Tyler Perry. It was through him doing his Medea character. I think comedians often do this best. They have ways of just saying things in the ways we need to hear it. And his quote was this, through Medea: "Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I might kill somebody." I cleaned up the language a little bit. If you think about that, "Lord, give me patience, because if you give me strength, I might kill somebody," I think it very insightfully exposes exactly why we need patience in the eyes and the face of suffering and injustice and sin. You see, we might think that a world in which we did not need patience would be the ideal world, right? We could just get done whatever we want to get done. We would see things through right away, the good, the justice, the purity, whatever it is that we're seeking at, we would be able to achieve it right away without having to wait for it. Well, that might seem like an ideal world for us until we realize the fact that we, in fact, are not ready to reign as sovereigns yet. In the words of Tyler Perry, we might kill somebody. To be patient does not mean to be indifferent toward injustice. It does not mean to be indifferent toward sin in myself or another, or indifferent toward the suffering of myself or another. No, patience in Scripture is not a vague, apathetic declaration that it's all good. Patience is actually the opposite of that. True biblical patience is actually protest against all that is wrong, because to be patient implies that you see something that is not right. You see, patience is not passivity. Patience is urgent waiting upon the Lord to deliver. It's trusting his ability over our own. Job was patient because he knew God was compassionate and merciful. The prophets were patient because they knew God was judge. The farmer is patient because she or he knows that God provides. So to be patient is not to give up. It's not to say that something doesn't matter. In fact, when patience comes hard, what we have to remember is where it is all going. As James says, be patient, not in some abstract, vague, just, you know, be chill sense. No, he says in the first line, be patient until the coming of the Lord. Friends, that is where it's all going. That is the reason, the good reason we have to be patient. You see, the patience that the Holy Spirit sees in our lives is not an indefinite, let's just wait and see what's going to happen. No, true patience is pinned to a definite hope of what will happen. that God is at hand, that he is compassionate and merciful, and that he will bring the fruit of the harvest. That kind of patience is life-giving, life-changing, and world-changing. As James says in his language, it establishes your heart. That picture of having an established heart, it's a picture that our emotions, that our hopes, that our perspectives are not riding the waves of circumstances and fads, but actually anchored to the character and the promise of a good God, to be established in our heart in him. To have patience, to have an established heart, it actually sets us free not to grumble against another. It sets us free to be gentle with one another. It sets us free not to write off the other at the first thing that they do that's wrong. It sets us free to work for purity in our own lives, for justice in our lives and in our world, without getting into the trappings of thinking that we are the answer. And that trapping of thinking that we are the ultimate answer, that lie of impatience, inevitably leads to injustice and self-righteousness. So friends, what we need in an age of injustice, of sin, of suffering, is patience rooted in the character of God. And so when we are tempted to impatience, remember the God who is patient toward you in Christ. Jesus did not grumble against us, but with patience went to the cross in love. And so in light of who Jesus is, in light of the coming of his kingdom, which as we sang is soon and very soon from an eternal perspective, until his coming, know that he and his kingdom are worth the wait. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.